Hello, you're very welcome to Leitrim's Lockdown Legends. My name is Brian Farrell, and in this series of four podcasts, I visit some of Leitrim's older residents who have been locked down and cocooning for most of the past 15 months. We talk about their life, their challenges, and their hope for the future. In this episode, I visit Frances O'Reilly and her husband Chris in their Drumreilly home. I thought for a minute I wasn't going to get in the door, but it was only Frances pulling me leg.
Hello.
How are you? How are you? This is Brian.
Oh, right. What are you selling? We don't want anything.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, no, what a mess.
You think I can come in?
You're very welcome, Brian. We were expecting you.
I knew straight away it wasn't a Leitrim accent I was listening to, so of course I had to ask.
I'm not from here, you know. I was born in a skillin' in the town, you know. Sure, I never seen a cow till I got married. But I tell you, I wasn't long learning. I'm telling you, I was showed once and that was it. We were both injected anyhow. Yeah. Well, me and him was to be together, but then the day that it was there, they hadn't enough stuff, you see, so I had to wait 2 or 3 weeks after. I shouldn't have got it all on account of the blood pressure. You see, I'm only 21. I was born and reared in Queen Street, Enniskillen. My father was an RAF pilot in the war, and my mother was a dressmaker. And I was an only child. Now, there was 3 or 4 before me, but they didn't survive. So anyhow, during the war, my aunt's husband was killed. So she came to live with us, her and her 2 boys. And my mother done the sewing and my aunt run the house. Now, we always said that she must be related to Hitler because she run the house, I'm telling you. So anyhow, that's where I was born and reared. 5 of us said we weren't going to go to college. We'd take a year out. So anyhow, we took the year out. And during the time anyhow, we decided we'd go to the dole. Maybe we'd get money, you know, for signing on the dole. Anyhow, 5 of us went to sign on the dole, and that was near a whole day by the time they filled out all the forms, and I was the last, you see. So the lassies said, we'll go down and have a cup of coffee and we'll wait on you, because you'll probably be here all night. So anyhow, I was there, and he asked me my name. I said, it was Mary Frances Rogers. And he said, Rogers, from where? And I said, Queen Street. And he said, are you anything to Frank Rogers? And I said, yes, my father. Well, he said to me, you know, I was in the RAF with your father, and no daughter of Frank Rogers, as he said, is going to sign on the dole. No, I'm telling you. So I thought to myself, yes, I'm not going to get no money anyhow. So anyhow, he wrote out something and he put in an envelope and he said, now, you go down to the courthouse, he said, and you give that in to the porter on the door and he'll see all to it. Anyhow, I'd tell the lassies, you know, about this. Jesus, you must have done something, some of them said, you know, to be sent to the courthouse. Oh, said I didn't do anything. Anyhow, we didn't go in till after dinner time, and I up and down by the courthouse. Didn't want to go in, you know. And I couldn't go back to him, you see, because he'd say, well, there you are now. But anyhow, I went back and I got in, and the fella sat me down and he said, now you start off here, he said, taking in the fines. There's a lot of old people, he said, with bicycles, and they're fined for no lights and no brakes, and they're all up in courts, he said. And they're all fined a 0.5 crown or 5 bob. This is what it was. And all you do is take their names and the money and give them a receipt, because they can bring it back to the court and show it that they paid it. And he had done that for 3 or 4 years. Anyhow, in the middle of it all, this fella said, you know, you'd be in time to get promotion. You know, I thought to myself, am I going to get promotion? So then he said, you go up to the court now on Monday morning, he said, with it was John Armstrong was the fella done the recording or the thing. And you go there, he said, and you sit with him for a couple of months and just watch what he does. And after that, he said, you can go to the small courts to start off. So I got the clerk of the court for the small courts, and I got up then to the big courts. I was 12 years in it when I met this fella.
12 years? and Frances enjoyed every minute of it. She got on well with her workmates too, but she will admit that she herself celebrated the 12th of July her own, probably not unique, way.
Tell you a good one. Every time coming up to the 12th of July, you see, the lassie said to me, Jesus, what are you going to do? You know, they'll be inviting you over to the Orange Hall, and you needn't bring any holy water with you. So anyhow, Frances got an idea. I'd get sick. I'd have a dose, and I came in one morning now, and I could hardly talk. It was all caught. So he said, you better go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor. He gave me a certificate for a week. And every 12th of July, I'd done the same. I had all different, I had a pain in my back one time, and there's different things. And when the 12th of July was over, I was fine. You see, what could I say to them, you see? You know, they'd be inviting you. They were often nice to me. Oh, they had a system going that whoever people's birthday was, they had money saved and they bought them presents and the whole lot.
Nonetheless, Frances finally got back to college, but it was long after she got married to Drumreilly man Chris O'Reilly.
Look at me, I graduated. It's all dust now, you'll hardly see it. In social science, I did social science. Well, I always promised my mother, someday, as she said, you should go to college. And I said, someday I'll go, Mummy, you know. So, that's how many years ago was that, Christine?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll show you photographs and I'll show them to you after. Anyhow, we graduated in the waterfront in Belfast.
And she remembers how she met Chris too.
We met in a place called Beltorbet.
Pally.
In there in Pally. There was a ballroom in it. And that's where we met. In Beltorbet. Well, he didn't really understand my accent. That was the first thing that wasn't. It didn't work. But anyhow, it did. And we used to, the Crowley lassies, we used to go to different dances on a Sunday night. And one lassie had a car, but she wouldn't be able to carry all. So we went in the buses. And we went to Beltorbet and we went to Clone, everywhere. Yeah. Across the border. Pubs wasn't even open, I mind, one time. They used to go across the border to Black Lion to get drinks. Pubs never opened. But then they opened on a Sunday for a couple of hours, I think it was. So anyhow, a couple of times I went to Beltorbet, the bloody bus was burned twice. Honest to God. It was a bus, and we knew bus drivers. We knew Tommy Ho, and we knew Seamus Miller. And they all were going with lassies, an hour group. So they always brought us on the bus free. And they'd leave us home at night. They'd go down our street and round and back to the depot. But anyhow, twice the bus was burnt. We came out, the bus was a fire.
That was the time the troubles was going on.
They were only starting at times.
Well, they were in a lot of places, 69, late 60s.
The civil rights were marching that time down at home, I mind, out, you know, start of it. So when you had the bus was burned twice, two different buses and two different drivers. Anyhow, that's where we met, and we're here together for 50 years in November. Aren't we? And not a row between us.
Well, not a serious one. No divorce yet, Hannah. No.
Three daughters. Yeah, the three of them is married. One of them down here beside us. And the other two's in Killeshandra. No. And grandchildren, which are that. It's grandchildren hardly know me now, you see. You couldn't go near them or anything, you know.
So does Frances remember where they were when the news broke about the first lockdown?
We were at home here, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we heard this, and then we thought, it's not going to last, and we'll have the active age, and we'll have everything, you know. But as it went on, I found it a terror. Then I got into this thing of watching news. There wasn't a news in every hour I watched it. I couldn't miss the news, and even yet, now I'm not so bad now. No, I'm not as bad, because our Catherine was here, was there some of them yet the other day, and all my thoughts was 6 o'clock news, you know. She'll be here and we'll not be able to put it on, because she scolded me. But I'm not so bad now, you know. No, on the beginning now I was. I couldn't sleep at night. I had to have the radio and the news on. I don't know why. And then this daughter down here, she has a bad heart. And she got bad during it. And she was in the Beaumont for 3 weeks. So when he heard that was in the middle of this thing, you know, and she, we couldn't go to see her. We couldn't. The other daughter used to bring her up clothes and leave them at the Beaumont and bring the other ones back. You couldn't go near them, you know. And I was in the middle of it all. And then the worry of her and, you know. Really, yeah. That was the hardest part. Mm. I know the close down now is very hard. I found it. Christy didn't mind it so much. She didn't.
When you'd be out cutting about.
Aye, and farm and things.
Farm and
I missed my friends. And a few of my friends died in the middle of it. And, you know, ones at home died. And, you see, you couldn't go anywhere or do anything. This thing in the nursing homes, it annoyed me at Tara. Because we know people in the nursing homes. 1,400 or something died in nursing homes. I thought that awful. Do you know them poor crits are sitting there, you know? And,
yeah.
And even then when people did die, they couldn't go in, they couldn't touch them. You know, the wives or the, and in, at home and in Skinnan, they couldn't go to the graveyards. You know, there's no one in the graveyard, only the priest and the undertaker. Which was awful sad. They couldn't say goodbye nor... You know, I thought that awful too. We seen the photographs in the paper of the being buried with the priest and the undertaker, and that's all. Couldn't be there at the funeral or nothing. Even the burying. You'd like to say goodbye to them anyhow.
They were accustomed to a busy life and a good social life too.
We would have been out. We had active age and we had the community centre. We were officers and everything. So we used to go on outings, you see, 4 times a year we went on outings. We went to Scotland 1 year and we went to Wales another year and to England another year. And sure to God, there's not a county in Ireland, but we've been in for weeks, you know, week at a time. The whole group, you see. And we'd raise money then with socials. We had a Boxing Night, that was Halloween. Then we had the maypole. We had a big maypole. I brought this idea from home. We used to have a maypole in Enniskillen, you know, down at the butter market. And we used to dance around and we'd get lovely cakes and everything. That was great when we were children. So anyhow, there was a Dutchman here and he made us a maypole. Big maypole now up to the ceiling there and all the yolks coming out of it. And we danced around it. We had music and we danced around it. And I made costumes for them. The women had the costumes and the men. In those times, you know, the maypoles. And we went up to where? Harwich Cross. And
we were
invited to lots of places.
And Temple Bar.
And Temple Bar. We done it in it. Yeah. And then we'd raise money with social nights, like Bacon and Boxing Night. That was Halloween. Then the Valentine's Night. That was a night of passion. You know, all the people that was into the fashion. We made lots of money, you know, that way. Then we spent it on outings, on buses and hotels or whatever. When we started first now, we started in 2001. That's 20 years ago now, the 5th of May. Whatever day the 5th of May was on there, we were 20 years.
2 days ago.
And we were going to have a big party and all this. But you look at it, it doesn't matter as long as we were safe. So we said we'd have an active age group. So we formed one in Drumreilly. And we had over 30 in the start of it. And I was the secretary. And I'm still the secretary. Except for 3 years now. Pat Connery took it for 3 years. And it came back. Nobody take it. But anyhow, we had loads of things. Then we go to Loch Derg for a day. Where else did we go to?
The Gran
in Enniskillen. Yeah, well, I knew the Gran in well. But we used to go there for the healing of the sick. When we went to Scotland, we had 2 full busloads. I'm telling you. We had great times, you know.
We went to Wales too.
And we went to England.
Aye, and the Lake District.
The Lake District, yeah. You see, we have an active age forum. And it's every 4 times a year. Now, we have it on the phone now, you see. I don't do Zoom or anything. But I can talk to Anna on the phone. Then we have an older people's council. It was one last Wednesday. And we talk on the phone, the whole lot of us, that's in the, you know, in the committee. Anna's very, very good. So she has this, oh, I don't know what you'd call it. It's a van anyhow that comes up from Cork. And you open it out. And it's a festival in a van. Now, what people must be doing, I don't know what they're doing, dancing or singing. And he has 30 chairs. So we got it for Ballinamore, Carrick and Shannon and Mochel. And then there's three more for the top end of Leitrim. So anyhow, we thought maybe we'd better have it in Dunreilly at the back of the community centre. But nobody would see us. There's 30 chairs he brings. And you can have 30 people sitting, watching this show. And you can bring a picnic or you can bring anything. And it's 3 hours.
Theatre.
No, a theatre. And we have it booked for June. The 5th and the 6th of June, I think it is. We built that community centre. A whole go of women. We collected the money for it. We got grants. We had a good priest here, a Father Flynn. He got the grants. And then we had a Dunreilly man in Dublin, Jack Fitzpatrick.
You've probably seen him on television. Did you mind Thelma Mansfield used to do?
She
used to call him Uncle Jack. Involved in the GAA in Croke Park too.
He used to be up in the stand there.
On final day, I seen him several times on it. You know.
And then he was...
He was local, he was from this parish.
He was, yeah, he did a lot. London. He had a big concert in the Garda place. Raised a lot of money. Then, what do you call the wee fella that gave us the money for the tarn?
Frank Fahey. He was a minister of the government at the time.
We got a grant of him, he tarred around the whole community
And
centre.
Jack and him were like that, yeah. You see. He used to stay in Jack's house in Dublin, where he lived in Dublin.
Yeah, there you are.
Jack lived in Cabra, some part of Cabra.
And we'd sit on pub doors. Every pub we'd ask, could we sit on the door collecting for the community centre? Two women.
And then we had a priest here that went to Washington and didn't he come back with a heap of money from
an old person.
An old girl. She wasn't even a Catholic, I don't think.
No, she gave him money for this community centre and the things is up on it.
I don't know how many thousand American dollars it was.
Six or eight thousand we got.
Ah. That hall was cleared, I'd say, at the time it was opened.
The day it was opened, the house, we owed nothing.
Yeah.
And it was a crowd of women.
She was on the committee, you were...
And the children were small that time now. 1988, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was opened.
Then we wrote a book for Act of Age here too.
We wrote a book.
Well, the name of it and all is the book is there somewhere. Well, they all come up at the hard
I tell you
way,
what like, I found. I found a terrible loneliness.
They
you know,
very poor and very, very little resources, you know, and bare minimum to exist, in fact.
Yeah, well, I do say to
they,
him,
they
yeah.
come up to a hard life, you know.
Yeah.
Harder than ever we come up again.
In our house, you know, my aunt used to run the house, and my mother had these tins on a shelf, you know. So much for this material, and so much for the electricity, and so much for that. And every week when the boys got jobs, they came in to put the money in. And my aunt run the house. And every Thursday, for dinner, we'd get spuds and butter, maybe, and cabbage, and a fried egg. That was always in the house on a Thursday. Then the rest of the week was fine. But she run the house like that, because my mother was so inconstant, you know, she was constant at it. But she'd do jobs for trousers and different people, and she'd make suits for children and things like that. And she'd make wedding dresses. And she made a wedding dress for a next door neighbour now, and oh, she had lovely stuff. She made it, and there was so much of it over. And she said to me, Mother, now when Frances is going to get her first communion, you make her communion dress out of that. And my communion dress was made out of that. I'm telling you, and everybody in the street got a lend of this dress, because everybody was horrid poor and Enniskillen, you know, down the back streets. Oh, they were a terror. So no jobs and no nothing. And then the big families in two-roomed houses, you know. And the water was even at the top of the street on a tap. Well, I sort of sense that loneliness or thing left. You know, things were getting better. Maybe that was it.
Well, the vaccine, of course, was a bit of a help.
Yeah. But other than that, no, this terrible loneliness, I think of people that was gone, you know, and... remembering them, things like that. And I felt very lonely now, honestly, at times, and tearful, you know. Yeah, I did, honestly. You see, you'd read something, you know, and all would come back. You see, we had such good friends. You know, some of our active age now died, and you couldn't go near them. We used to go over to see a woman Tess, do you remember?
Yeah.
And we were over the week before this thing started. Tess now had cancer. She had cancer for 3 years. And we went over, and I remember saying to Tess, we'll be back next week. And we were down in the Gran, and we got the oil, you know, the oil they bless you with on your forehead. So I had some, and I brought it over to Tess. And I said, now I'll be back next week to see it. And she wasn't good for him, wasn't she?
Well,
yeah. But be good. And the next week, this thing was in. Couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't believe it. And I remember her saying to me and you, I hope to God we don't get this damn flu. And that was the virus she was talking about. And then funny, just the next week, it was in. We never got back. Never got back. No. You feel things like that, you know. Couldn't believe it. And the Irwins are saying, no, mammy, you can't do nothing now. You can't go this and you can't. It was 101 things you couldn't do. All of a sudden. And then it set in this feeling, you know, that you were told to stay in. And that over 5 kilometres or whatever it was, that annoyed me, Tara, you know. It did, honestly. I couldn't get over this 5 thing. Then we made it that we could go to Newtown Gower. That's as far as we could go. We couldn't go to Bandamore. We couldn't go to Bandamore because it was over the 5. Couldn't even go out to buy a pair of shoes. I wanted to say, for God's sake, Mammy, are you still on about the shoes? I never got out to buy them. But maybe now we would. Saying now you're living on your own and you might like, we get her his number and they give him a call 2 or 3 times a week. And if he wants medicine, they'll go and collect, get someone to collect it and bring it to them. We have no meals now. But then we have these ones, home help. You see, they come into houses. They got the meals in the hotel and they didn't go into the house, they left it outside. They got the meals in the hotel or in Pat Mitchell's there in Carrigallen. They collect them every day and they bring it to them. I had a little thing, you know, for bringing it. He looks outside at the friends out there we have. The cows.
The cattle,
aye.
They'll occupy quite a bit.
He used to milk one time too, you see. We give the milking up. Wasn't enough hours in the day.
Aye, you'd be run off your feet.
Getting out.
Looking forward to good health, and not get sick. That's the main
thing. Oh, yeah, and getting out.
That is one thing that I'm fit to be mobile and fit to carry on, you know. That's the biggest plus.
Yeah,
for everyone, in fact, not alone me.
But I'd like to be able to get out and nobody telling me, stay at home.
When you see all the people that
I know. Yeah, in Carrigallen. We go on a Sunday night dancing.
We used to go dancing there.
Yeah, and we have a whole go of friends in Beltorbet and all around. We all meet there.
And every day since March 2020, Frances lights a candle. It never goes out until she goes to bed.
There's another thing too. See that little candle? I light that candle every day since March 2 years ago. From it started, I light that candle the whole day. Don't we?
I don't.
I feel that I'm safe when I have that. And it's there now, and I buy more bags of candles. It's just a little candle.
Yeah.
Looking up there at our lady, you see. It's keeping me safe. I always had a liking for candles anyhow. You know, all down the years. But every day, I never miss a day. It's lit now till I go to bed. When it burns out, there's more ready to come in. Yeah, it's there every day. First thing in the morning. Our Mary brought me one of them things that you light the gas with. I only got it there last week. I go down every Monday then to the church and I light candles. And I put in my money, you know, the weekly off things. Every Monday we go down. I bring down me dues and me weekly things and the whole lot. Put them in the box and I get the Irish Catholic and I put that money in the box. Now, we got that at home years ago. Years and years. One crowd was selling on Publeta on one side and the Irish Catholic. And then the fella in the middle was collecting for St. Vincent de Paul. at home in Enniskillen. Every Sunday, my father marches up to Mass. Mother and me aunt go to first Mass. Me and the cousins would be marched up the bloody chapel to the under the pulpit. Used to be a pulpit there that time. There we are, that's what he brought up. Meeting me friends again.
Oh, well, if you go maybe to local towns, Cavan or oh, yeah. Longford or whatever, you know.
Next Monday now you can go to a different town.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay in Leitrim.
You can travel a bit.
Yeah.
But the vaccine has made all the difference. And the moment that her daughter and grandchildren came into the house after over a year of standing out windows will never, ever be forgotten.
No, but she's after getting her first injection there, and I was saying to Christy, Noel was up there putting tags in calves or cattle or something. Happy God she came in. She wasn't in our house since March, last 12 months, since the first thing came in.
She came to the window there.
She was so afraid of it, you know, I say with her heart, you know. She come to the window and the boys wouldn't come in either. But they all came in the other day and they had tea and they nearly ate me out of house and home. They wanted toast and whatnot. That was the first time now she came in and sat there, you know. I didn't say nothing. Well, we were out, no one was putting tags in the cows. They head out, you see, we have a test. And me and the children who were standing up there. So anyhow, I went up there and Noel, one of the gates was missing on McGovern's and all the other gates closed, tied together, you see. It was getting windy and soul hailstones and whatnot. So anyhow, when he had all done and all, he came down and I said, come on down to the house. You know, up there is an old wind as a terror. Down here is not so bad. So down they came anyhow, and, you know, Mammy, she said, I'm awful cold, I'd like a cup of tea. I said, all right, do you want me to bring it out to you? No, she said, I went. So she went in. She sat down there, because she knows we have the yolk, you see, the vaccine, you know. We can't give it to anybody. I don't think we can. Anyhow, she took the tea, and she doesn't take sugar. She takes the, you know, the little lads.
Tangerine.
Aye. So this time she said to me, oh, I'm taking ordinary sugar now, Mammy, because I heard something on the television that them old things is only chemicals. So Mammy got the sugar, and you know the sugar was as hard as that. But no one ever takes it. So I hammered it anyhow, and she took 2 spoons of it. And she sat there a good while, didn't she?
Yeah.
Aye, she sat there a good while, and the boys were here, and Dahi there, the eldest lad, he's mad an old tractor. Oh, God bless us. He has me head turned about tractors. Anyhow, he was here and he was looking at the Farmer's Journal. So a whole lot of tractors in the Farmer's Journal. And the other fella takes brown bread. Another fella takes white bread. And I take white bread, you see, and he eats brown bread. So they ate all my white bread. And anything the wee fella left, Thorlock, the other fella ate. Never seen the lick of it, you know. And the box of toys is over there since they were small. And the first race he did was to the box. I'm telling you.
He never forgot it.
Never forgot it, no. I'm glad. And she looked at the watch and she said, no, it's 5:30, Mammy, now. I bet you go Noel's going home from work and he'll have to get. So away she went. I don't think she was up since, was she?
This podcast has been funded by Leitrim County Council through the Healthy Ireland Fund, supported by the Department of Health and the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth.